All right, well, welcome everybody. It is again another edition of the Cross and the Crescent discussion group. Thank you for coming on this Tuesday evening. We're continuing to name it the Cross and the Crescent discussion group. I know it's normally known as Radio Freak Affairs Fan, but I wanted to provide some type of continuity so people don't get confused on when the show is. We have the show at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time on Sunday, and then, of course, every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. So today, on today's show, we are going to take a look at the Pack of Umar. The last few shows that we've done, we've focused in on the Sharia, the Islamic law. We've focused in on its applications, and we've looked and see how it is applied and interpreted worldwide. So we spent quite a bit of time focusing on that the last couple weeks. So tonight, what I wanted to do is I wanted to kind of take a look at kind of the origins of the Sharia. When we look at, people naturally say, well, the Sharia is derived from, of course, it's derived from the Quran. It's derived from the Hadith, it's derived from the Sirah, the biography of Muhammad. But what a lot of people don't realize is that we see the first instances and inklings and application of the Sharia in the Pack of Umar. And what I want to do tonight is I want to kind of tie the two together. I want us to take a look at what the Pack of Umar says and then go into Reliance of the Traveler, which is the jurisprudence manual for the Sharia, and show you the similarities of the two and how they're applied. And you can see where not only is the Sharia derived from the Quran, derived from the Ahadith, derived from the biography of Muhammad, but when you go to the earliest source, because the earliest source for Islam is not the Quran. A lot of people think, well, the Quran is the first one that was written down, and that's actually not true. The Quran was not written down and edited, or as I say, edited, and then are brought together and then edited by Uthman until Umar is actually dated 637. This is the second caliph. Uthman was the third caliph. So this is the guy that comes after Umar that finally put the Quran together. So this predates even the Quran. So we're going to take a good hard look at that today. I wish my brother Rad would be able to get logged in. Evidently, he's having some connectivity issues. Isa, can you come up on mic real quick? Just real quick. I want to ask you a quick question. Can you tell me, did you get the Facebook instant message about the show? Is that how you were alerted about? Is that how you got the link?
I did see it on Facebook, and I saw it also on Skype, too. So I saw it on both.
Oh, okay. So which one did you click on? Did you click on the Facebook? But you did see the Facebook message for it. Okay, for some reason, the people that I invite on Facebook aren't getting alerted, and I'm not sure what's up with that. It may be a StreamYard problem. StreamYard's been acting a little quirky lately in some of the things it's doing, and some people are being allowed to come up on, or being able to, they have fine reception, they have good audio, and then some people, they can't hear the audio, and we were having problems with that on Sunday. with our brother Rad. Okay, but I want to first start off tonight about something that I had done Sunday after the show. I was considering what had, you know, what's happened to me by the Imam, Kenny Bulmer, and how his jihad, because he is, after all, a soldier of Allah, has really forced me to do the right thing and not teach this year. I retired. Kids started back to school yesterday, as a matter of fact, which is kind of hard to believe. You know, where did this time go? When summers go, but that was, you know, that was the only thing. You know, the one thing that you always knew about teaching is that your summers always just go like that. I mean, you look forward to them all year. I can't wait till summer gets here. Wait till summer gets here, and you get to summer, and then it's over. So this retirement thing is kind of suiting, if I would say so myself. But what I did was, is I put together, after having a conversation with a couple other people, an email to him to let him know that what he did to me as far as threatening, what he did to create like this circus-like atmosphere, causing me to retire from my job, causing... basically threatening with telling the school board and the people in the state of Iowa a whole bunch of lies about me, lies that simply weren't true. He knows this. He couldn't prove it in any decent, I wouldn't even say a court of law, but just a court of public opinion. And his charge was that, okay, I have to, as a soldier of Allah, protect the children, the Muslim children that you teach from you, because you're a hate monger, you're an Islamophobe, and we know you bring your opinions to the classroom, which isn't true, but this was his charge, and this was his total justification for trying to get me removed from my teaching positions, because I was going to hurt somebody else. So I got to considering this, not to consider this TV, but I got to considering this, that what Kenny's occupation is. And he's a pipe inspector. He inspects our nation's infrastructure, where our energy, our oil, our gas, it flows underground. Most everywhere you go, it's underground. And he inspects all these things. And then I got to thinking, okay, so what is there something that he could do to that infrastructure? And of course, the quick answer is yes. Anybody could go out there and do some damage to that. But somebody who had access to the most critical points in it could really do some significant damage. We just saw here recently, I believe it was a computer hack that shut down a lot of the flow of petroleum going to the East Coast, and how it just shut down in almost an entire state, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember how, you know, the effective range and the extensiveness of it, but it was pretty bad. And so somebody that is in a position like that would be able to do something like that. But just because somebody is in a position to do something like that, would they do something like that? Well, if you consider some of the things that the Imam has said, not only on his radio show, but also in his book, Yo, Rad, The Extremist Imam. Okay, thank you for the qualification there. We're going to leave that out for just now. Now you got me off my game here. Now, doggone it, why did you do that? Okay, so where was I going with this? All right, so he has the ability to do this. Now, does he have a motivation to do it? Would he do something like this? Well, if you read his book, the man obviously hates his country and shows an allegiance to his faith. Now, there's nothing wrong with having an allegiance to your faith, but when you have this abnormal hatred for your country, as he has demonstrated not only in his book, but the things that he has said, and also has said things that demonstrate that he has some very radical Taliban-ish type Sharia opinions, and the fact that he has no problem with a terrorist group firing missiles into a sovereign country, and also some of the things that he's done on his show. you know, completely discounting his violent past. I'm not even bring up his criminal. Well, I'm going to bring up his criminal history because that does play a role here. When you watch his show, many times when people call in and make comments to him about him, and he feels as if he's disrespected, you notice the one comeback he always comes back with: "You wouldn't say that to my face. I promise you wouldn't say that to my face." Now, this is this type of passive threat that people who are bullies make. So not only does he have this violent past, made all kinds of comments that concern everybody, but also has demonstrated his propensity to commit violence today. That's got to be concerning, considering what he has access to. And so I emailed him the other day to let him know that this is what we were going to do. We were going to put together a dossier with, you know, all of his comments, or not all of his comments, but quite a few of his comments. A dossier that included the charges that he's been charged with, and they are indeed felony level charges. Now, he in his emails, he sent me a couple emails here, and I want to show you the first reply that I got from him. Let me show it to you. It was kind of oopsie. I got to share. I can't just put that out there. Let me do this. Okay, put it up here. There we go. The first thing that he insists on doing is, of course, insulting me. Why is this doing that? Is the screen flashing to you guys? Can you see that? Is it flashing? All right. Let me try it again. Bada bing, bada boom. Okay, there we go. Now, how do I make this bigger? Let's enlarge this a little bit. Okay, so the first thing he does is, "Hey, dummy." I mean, if he's going to call me a name right out of the gate, "Hey, dummy." He misspells dummy. It's dummy is how he spells it. So automatically, when you start reading this email, you start laughing. But anyway, okay. So he insists that. Go ahead. What's that, Issa? I don't know. Is that a word? Is dummy a word? Really? Oh, I thought maybe it was just a typo. Wow. Okay. Well, way to be on it. Okay. Well, of course, he's going to say it is, regardless now. He goes, "Oh, you don't even know what a dummy is. Oh, Mr. Dr. Sekifer, you don't know." Anyway, all right. So anyway, let's go on. He says, "I'm not a convicted felon." Nobody says that he's a convicted felon, but this is how self-conscious he is of all of this, because he managed to take these felonious charges, these felony level charges, and get them pled down to a misdemeanor. This is key for him. Okay, so when he says that I'm not a convicted felon, I've passed every background check requirement, I work for multiple companies, most of 10 years or more. No, because if he says 10 years or more, that includes the year he spent in jail for beating his wife, and that was, I think, 6 years ago. They know my character and assignments. Okay, my question would be then, why wouldn't you think that my teacher friends or the people, my colleagues that I work with, didn't know my character and that I wouldn't do these things that you have lied about me or lied to say that I have done or that I would do? That's very hypocritical, but hypocrisy is nothing that you seem to mind doing. And then look at here. He says the 7-year statute of limitations has already elapsed. We're not talking about statute of limitations. We're just demonstrating a pattern of conduct here. This is where you're just completely clueless. And then down here, of course, he says, "I own you," which is, this is what bullies do. They want to intimidate you, and they want you to make you think that, or they want you to be scared of them. And okay, now what concerns me is what he did after this, because I replied to this. Saying it doesn't matter if you're a convicted felon or not, it's just felony level charges, and there's all kinds of other things that we have in the works that we're going to be doing with this. But then I got an email yesterday morning that was that really bothered me, because here's what he says. in this email. He says he's now going to go after my wife. He's going to go after the Queen of Kafiristan now. Now, when we talk about people being unhinged and their heart being filled with hatred and this evil disease that can only be satanic, and I believe it's, I honestly believe it's satanically, demonically inspired, this is what he did. And, you know, and I called, you know, Rad and I, we had a good long conversation about this yesterday, and I told him, I said, you know, sometimes people overreact. They make mistakes and they say things that they know that they should not have said. They completely realize this. So I told Rad, I said, look, I want to type something up and I want to address this, because what he is doing is basically the same thing that he sat there for literally days sniveling about, and I would say rightly so, of what Beholdergaard had done when he was doing this fire report thing or whatever it was. But what Beholdergaard did, this was Kenny's friend, he included Kenny's son. He got Kenny's son involved in all this. He got family involved in all of this stuff. And we here on the Cross and the Crescent universally condemned what he did. What Beholdergaard did was cross a line that should never be crossed. You don't ever involve somebody's family in these things. And he sat there for days. Go ahead, Isa. No, it's all right. It's okay. And I agree, 100%.
Ends when you start doing like, this is like assault, I think. I don't really know who this Beholdergaard person is. I heard a little bit about this kind of, like a, I don't know, like a drama that this person, I don't know, they did a doxing or something. I don't know, whatever it is, but I think it's just, it sounds kind of insane. I'm like, you're talking about ideas. Like, I remember hearing about this other person, I think his name was it? Imtiaz or something?
Ijaz Ahmad, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ijaz Ahmad, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't understand what's going on here. You're talking about ideas. You're talking about religion. You're talking about personal things, but you're talking. You're not doing anything. You're not going around with swords. I mean, and guns and bombs. I would hope that's not what you're doing. I thought these are podcasts, you know, where people are talking about ideas and things that they believe in, reading texts, examining what these texts are, and that's it. And then once you turn off the stream, it's over. But this seems like, it seems like a complete different level. Like, you know, I think, you know, being, what do they call it, a keyboard cowboy is one level, but this is something else. Like, this is like, I would say it's like a political assassin. It's like someone who's like, I'm going to go out there and try to destroy people because they don't agree with me and they don't share my ideas. And I'm like, I'm having trouble wrestling with this.
I completely agree with you. I completely agree with you.
If you don't like it,
Gedaliah has a good point here. Islam calls it corruption in the land,
mm-hmm.
because we're not agreeing with Islam. You know, because we have a constitution that says, we are the good people, the moral and religious people that are saying, not in our country.
Actually, it's more personal.
Like, I hear
the explanation. Yeah, and to say to that, Isa, to speak on your point, I think that this would be more like a 21st century jihad.
Yes. Yeah.
I think that's one way you could characterize what Muslims are trying to do to their opponents at this point. It's just 21st century.
He actually called it that, I believe.
Why does this guy disagree with these ideas? Why are you attacking the person? Why not attack the ideas? If you don't like what anybody is saying on the panel, just attack the ideas. Go say, look, I'm going to write a manifesto and say, I disagree with these points. I disagree with this interpretation of the text. I'm going to do all of this whole type of thing. And then I hear this corruption land. I'm like, what does that mean? Like, it's abstract. Like, I can just say it means whatever I want it to mean. This is why I think we have to have separate religion and state. Because if the person who's in power claims a religion and uses that religion, they can weaponize it. And they can take good principles and make
and
them
that's
evil.
Islam.
Yeah.
That's Islam.
It's funny. There was this video game from a long time ago on Nintendo. It was called Ultima. And what happens in the game is you're supposed to be this character that brings, like, ethics in the land. You're, like, a protagonist that brings ethics in one entry of the game. And then the next part of the game, you see that those ethics you brought into the land become corrupted. Because that a leader who has absolute power can be, you know, corrupt absolutely. So they are, like, affected by, like, demonic forces, you know, like shadowed forces in this particular game. And I think it's really interesting because that's what I can see is like even if there's something that's like a good moral ethical thing, it can be twisted by a corrupt leader. And that's terrifying, I think. And I'm just like, I think you have to have limits and boundaries.
That's why we have checks and balances.
Well, I would say that he's crossed that limit. He's crossed that boundary. When you go after somebody's family and this is what's so surprising about this is that he is completely incapable of recognizing the abject hypocrisy involved on this. He spent days sitting there lamenting the fact that Beholder Guard went after his son, his family, involved his family in all of this, but he doesn't seem to have a problem doing it to somebody else. And so his reply was this morning, I told him, I said, I told him in the email, I said, look, we say things that we shouldn't say, but here's what I want you to do. I just want you to retract the threat and apologize. That's all I want you to do. And this is what he sent me this morning. Yeah, I gave him the opportunity. I wasn't mean about it. I was just very pointed about it. And here's what he sent back. You're not getting anything from me except what people like you deserve. And then furthermore, and then he gets on this passport thing and a TWIC card, and we're going to get to that, Imam. Trust me, we're going to get to that. But he goes in and he says this. This is what this is again. How abjectly blinded this man is. He cannot. He's completely incapable of recognizing his own hypocrisy. He says right here, my career as an inspector has nothing to do with my religion. What does my criticism of your religion have to do with my job, therefore? He cannot see that.
Can I answer that?
Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
Being Christianophobic over the speech that he is providing, the hate speech against Christians that he provides on that show. So if, in fact, this show provides that type of worry for him, the same thing applies to him. His show does the same thing for us. So it's exactly the same thing. He just is a little too stupid to see the different criterions he likes to place upon things. I got a wonderful email by the imam himself as well, Mr. Eric, today.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw you were on there. We both got the email, and I got it up here on the screen.
Email that he sent me too.
Yeah, I got it up here. I'll put it up on the screen here in a second. Is there anything you want to say about it?
Whatever.
Well, Chris, what do you call people who commit felonies? Right. Who cares what the court adjudicated? You were charged with you committed a felony. Restraining it. This is true.
That don't matter. You can't get around it. You're a criminal. And you were a criminal while you were a Muslim. Now, he brings up my criminal past. And yes, I do have a criminal past. I have a few charges.
So are you a criminal too, Chris?
I am definitely a criminal.
Okay,
and
see?
And thank God that after I became a Christian, I had never had a charge the rest of my life, the person that I am now. So I don't mind when Kenny brings up my criminal record and me being a criminal, because that brings glory to my Lord and Savior, because he took me from that person and brought me to this person.
Right. I ask you, in Christ.
I ask you, Kenny, what did your fake Allah do for you? Because you were a Muslim while you were committing these criminal acts. I committed mine before I was a Christian. You, sir, were a Muslim while committing those acts. There is a difference, and I'm pretty sure that everybody would be able to see. Now, mm-hmm. He keeps trying to tell me, oh, you're a felon. Well, he keeps saying that he has a passport. Right, Eric?
Yes.
So therefore, he can't be a felon. I have a passport, so therefore, I can't be a felon either, Kenny. I just got back January 2021 from Cuba in Cayo Coco, and I will be returning to Cuba in Cayo Coco in 2022. So, I have a passport, Kenny. The difference is, when you get a passport, it's the countries you're going to that have restrictions if you can enter or not. Not your country if you're leaving or not, when it comes to the passport.
I wonder if you could get into Afghanistan.
I wish. I'm ready for him to say, I want to go to Afghanistan. I'll anonymously buy his and yeah. Email it right to his Sorry, not email, but mail.
Well, how does Rad know this? Yeah. Right, no, Red. That's so funny. Go ahead, Isa.
Why are we caring about people's backgrounds? It's come down to this kind of situation where people are getting wrapped up and saying, look at this person's background. It's like, I don't care what a person's job is. We're talking about ideas. This is the type of thing that we're looking at. And it's like, it's gone into this, like, high school drama type of thing. And I'm just like, this is ridiculous. I'm like, look, if you don't, like I said before, I'm reiterating, if you don't agree with the position, then you don't have to come in the dialogue. You know, that's it. And if you come to the dialogue where you feel comfortable or where you don't feel comfortable. And I'm just like, I'm not understanding talking and saying, oh, you're the felon, he's the felon. I'm just like, you've lived your life and you have a chance to... I don't know, I think through faith, usually the idea of faith is that you get redemption for whatever your past is, hopefully. You know, that's, if your faith has those tenets, that you can get redemption from that.
Hey, Isa.
To walk the path.
Isa.
Yes?
While you're saying these words, man, I want you to remember these words as well.
Sure.
Chris, you cut out.
Sure. No problem.
Yeah, I just had a phone ring. No, because it's important, because there's a certain path that is the only path to lead you to heaven, right? And are you on that direct path, or are you outside of that path?
Well, I hear what you're saying.
And that's why I'm saying I want you to take notice of what you're saying as well when it comes to faith and the right path and things to this nature. I thought it was beautiful what you were saying. I just want you to be able to take in some of that as well. Because I want you on that straight path, too. I keep praying for you, Isa.
Well, good. He is nigh unto the kingdom. That's what I see. He's nigh unto the kingdom. So we're just kind of like watching the baby crawl a little, but he's not quite walking yet. You know, like Jesus said to, I forget the man's name, saying, you're nigh unto the kingdom. You're not far from the kingdom. That's how I see Isa, you know.
It's Joseph of Arimathea, I think, who you're talking about. I'm willing to be wrong.
Yeah, it wasn't Joseph. I'll forget his name.
You don't think so?
No, it wasn't Joseph. It was...
I'm sure you'll find it and you'll remind me.
It's not coming.
Okay, I just want to show one more thing about this, and then we'll Rad wanted to say a couple things. If you look here, this is, look at what he says here. you might get away spreading lies about me in this life. We're not spreading any lies about you, Imam. There's nothing that we have said on this show about you that is not true. And if it was untrue, we've gone back and corrected it. If I've said something about you on this show that is not true, then I'm sure that you'll be able to go ahead and shoot me an email and provide me a list of all those things that I've said about you, and then go ahead and timestamp on those on that email along with the hyperlink of where I did say that, and it's not true. And if it is, if I did say something that's not true about you, then most certainly I will make a public retraction of that. But the fact is that I am not going to owe you diddly squat on the day of judgment. Jesus Christ will judge us based on what we did with his personal work and atonement for us on that cross. That's how we will be judged. We will not be judged how we treated one another. Only your prophet would say something and get other people to believe something as convoluted as that. Okay. Rad, did you have anything that you wanted to add tonight? Okay, you need to speak louder because you're being.
I just want to put a disclaimer out there. The Cross and Crescent might not have the same views as Rad based on how far he goes with it, but generally we do. But we reserve the right to throw Rad under the bus.
Not a lot, but go ahead. It's clear as a bell, so it doesn't really matter. People just turn up the volume if they can't hear you.
All right, so this is a message directly to Kenny. Kenny, this is how this is going to work now. Some of the people in position to hire you for your contract work are married men, and they will not like reading about how one of their 10th hires threatens other people's wives online. Some of them are women. Maybe some have come out of abusive relationships, and they're not going to like reading the gory details of your ex-wife's accusations of how you beat her multiple times and spent almost a year in jail. Some of them, and you need to pay attention to this real quick, Kenny, some of them are vets with combat experience in Afghan and Iraq. They are not going to like reading and hearing how you forced a fellow brother to retire and who is now threatening his wife. Kenny, some are not going to like reading the details about how you were charged with slashing or shooting out someone's tires and then took pot shot at the vehicle's owner in the direction of the house where his 80-year-old mother was inside. Kenny, it only takes one, just one, to put you on a no-call, no-hire list, which means they don't call you for projects, and even if you do directly apply, you don't get hired. They don't even have to tell you why. Your past and current actions, which are all documented, and in your own words, is more than enough to demonstrate, quote, the content of your character, unquote. When you think the above people are not around or listening to you, we gave you every opportunity to stop with the threats that you and other angry Muslims, one of them who is now threatening to show up bringing firearms, from showing up to a junior high school and school board meeting. We complied with your request not to release your painful history that we only obtained after 2 or 3 years of the on-again, off-again threats made to Eric, with the sole agreement that you or anyone from your Consider This YouTube TV network would never again threaten Eric's employment. We honored that agreement for several months, and then one of your panelists and an affiliate at that time, Charles, published the pictures of Eric's boss along with her phone number. Instead of you publicly rebuking him and asking him to take it down, you instead went on his stream, where he again published the pictures and the phone numbers. You joined in the 5+ hour hate fest, calling Eric swine of the humankind, and went on to say how the Muslims are coming. Oh, we're coming. Remember that, Kenny? And remember this one? Kenny Bomer doesn't even have to be in the front of the line. Kenny Bomer just be sitting in the back smiling. Eric even went so far as to retire early in the hopes that he would stop the threats. But you still continue with these threats. You just recently, by the way, he just recently sent me an email bragging how he had no intention of honoring the agreement and how you were just buying time, making contacts and compiling information, etc. We have tried everything to get you to stop. We ignored you. We pleaded with you. We held back releasing your painful information. But nothing we have done seems to have satiated your hatred for Eric. Child, here is what we're going to do, or what someone is going to do. Can't say who. I'm going to pile all this information again, once again, and hand this over to, hand this information over to a third party, maybe even a Muslim you know, who may or may not send this information to your current employer and all of their competitors. Once this is done, it's out of my hands. And remember your words, Kenny, every time we ask you to get other people to stop. I'm only responsible for me. So if the third party sends this information to everybody at domain.com in your corporation, that means everybody gets it. To your current or potential employers, then according to Kenny Logic, both myself and Eric will have nothing to do with whatever this third party does. Seriously, dude, I'm tired of it. It ends one way or the other. Seriously.
Again, what we're doing is fighting the injustice, and sometimes if you have to label someone an Islamophobe, if you have to label someone swine of humankind because they indeed act like swine, meaning that they act like animals in the way they function intellectually, they function like animals in trying to cause division, in trying to cause destruction, like a swine would do. A wild pig, what does he do? He goes to the forest and he ruts, he searches and he scavenges. And that's what these types of people are doing, and trying to scavenge away, trying to scavenge that grass on a straw in order to try to disprove his knowledge.
All right. Thank you, Connie, for that. I didn't want the whole thing's, I think, 3 minutes, but it's really good. Maybe I'll play it at the end of the show.
Oh, that would be great. Hey, may I?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you for trusting me, because I'm just going to tell you.
What are you going to say? What are you going to say?
And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reason together and perceiving that he had answered unto them well, meaning Jesus answered well. So it is just a scribe. Now, Hollywood makes it Joseph of Arimathea, so scratch that out of your psyche there.
Was that in the Passion? Is that in the Passion of the Christ where he says that to Joseph of Arimathea? Is that?
No, that's Jesus of Nazareth. I have that one. It's like 6 hours long.
Oh, is that? Yeah, that's from like back in the 70s or something. Or,
yeah.
Yeah, I think I have that too.
Oh, I love that. That's my favorite one.
Yeah, I think I have that one too. Yeah. Okay. So, all right. I stand corrected. Thank you, Connie, for doing that.
Well,
we appreciate that.
He had a name, so I stand corrected myself.
Okay. All right. So tonight, does anybody else have anything to add to this big hot mess here? Because the bottom line is that you know what comes. You know, you could say what comes around goes around. But when you, and this is what I put in the email, I said, you know, what did you expect? Did you just expect somebody to not reciprocate what you were doing? That we were just, because especially when he said that he's coming after the wife, when he said that he's coming after the wife, this is when I got up yesterday morning and I just went to work. Because when you say that you're coming after the queen, that's kind of a line you just don't cross. When you come after the family,
and
you don't do that. Go ahead.
And my husband's queen takes that pretty personal, and every female should, and probably most likely does.
Sure, yeah. All right, let's get to the pack of Umar.
I just want to say before you do that, Eric, it just shows that Kenny's no man to go after a woman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it shows you what does he say the consistency of a man does, whoever the hell he says.
Yeah, the consistency of a man shows what he is or something like that. It's
yeah.
Book. He keeps on preaching this.
Okay.
Book.
Well, there you go. It definitely tells you.
The consistency of a man shows you the character or the content of a man. And yes, I agree with that, because his consistency is that, one, if you if he even perceives you are making a fool of him, okay, or challenging him on his lack of education, or challenging him on, seriously, or
that's a big one for him.
That's when he freaks out. He takes everything really personally. He actually took things personally against me when the only thing I said was, you know, do not quote to me common knowledge, because I was trying to explain to him common knowledge is the least in what an Islamic judicial scholar goes by. They have several criteria. Quran, Hadith, what other people have done in the past, you know, precedents, but then common knowledge is like the least one.
Okay, look who's in the chat here, Rat. Look who's in the chat here. You went to work. I knew you would expose yourself. Maybe you want to listen to that again, okay, big man? I went to work on your comment. Whatever. I knew you would get – I got you, Kevin. What a joke.
Wait, Kenny, seriously, I hope you heard everything I said, man. You need to stop this, dude, because the only thing, dude, it's going to really come back and hurt you hard on this, dude. Because, like I said, I know contract work. It only takes one, dude.
Yeah.
Just one person for him to look at this and say, nope, you don't want to hire this dude. And then you get put on a list. It's a no-call, no-work list. That means they don't call you, and if you do directly apply, they say, sorry, no work for you. I am 100% serious on this. You don't want to be on that list.
Yeah, okay, so, all right,
the
it's
what it is. The consistency of the man defines who he is.
Okay,
well,
so you consistently...
what Rad was saying, Kenny...
Wait, it's not even that. I just want to point out, hey, criminal, how you doing? good to see the criminal in the chat today with us.
We all criminals here except for...
Notice how I'm not calling you felon. How are you doing, you Muslim criminal? You've got to be probably the dumbest person I've ever seen. When Eric said he went to work after talking about your comment, you actually thought he meant that he was going to work. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm a felon.
What did he say?
Can you put that up on the screen here?
You are a felon. Okay, you are a felon, Chris.
All right. So, Kenny, by your logic... I can't be a felon. I have a passport. Deal with your own logic, Mr.
No, here's what's so astonishing about him. Look what he says here. You attack me personally, demonstrate your character. Okay, I'm done. Let's talk about the pack of Umar. This is a waste. Yeah. He's a waste of time. All right. So yeah, but to the what does that say? Take that to the bank.
To the camp.
Okay. This whatever he said that day. Take that whatever he said to Danny Davis that day. You go ahead and take that. We're coming to get the Kaffer, the Smith there. Okay. Yeah. And playing the victim. Thank you, Danny. This is always playing the victim. Poor me. Everybody's always attacking me. Shut up. Okay, so let's talk about the pack of Umar and where it comes from. Okay, so when we look at Muhammad dies in 632. And the first caliph was Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr only lives for about 2 years. And he's the only one that wasn't murdered. Out of the first four caliphs, he's the only one that wasn't murdered, or I might be wrong. I'm willing to be wrong on that, but I think he was the only one that wasn't murdered. Okay, he's fighting the Ridda Wars, though, the Wars of Apostasy. Immediately after Muhammad dies, you have people saying, okay, well, I'm checking out. The prophet's dead. He's not coming back to life. He was, you know, we don't believe that he was a prophet. And then what happens? Abu Bakr starts fighting the Ridda Wars. After Abu Bakr dies, Umar becomes the caliph. And so what he does is he starts expanding Islam. He starts going on the march. And what does he do? He marches right up, to Jerusalem and sacks Jerusalem and then forces the people in Jerusalem to surrender and sign what is now called the Pact of Umar. They are forced to sign what is now this codified code of conduct on how Muslims are to treat non-Muslims. And in this, we can find in the Sharia all kinds of parts of the Pack of Umar. So let's go and look at what the Pack of Umar says. And I have it in italics here: in the name of God, the merciful and compassionate. This is a letter of the servant of God, Umar ibn al-Khattab, commander of the faithful, from the Christians of such and such a city. When you come against us, we ask you for safe conduct for ourselves, our descendants, our property, and the people of your community, and we undertook the following obligations towards you. So when we look at what this is, in the Reliance of the Traveler, we find that this is a formal agreement between of protection for Jews, Christians, Zoroastrians, and a couple other ones that it lists. But then it goes on to provide a laundry list of things that the Jews, the Christians, and these people that come under this protection or come under this contract, pact, per se, in detail. So here's what he said. The first one: we shall not build in our cities or in our neighborhood new monasteries, churches, convents, or monk cells, nor shall we repair by night and day such as them as fallen to ruin. So when we look at the Sharia in Division O, Chapter 11.5, such non-Muslim subjects are must comply with Islamic rules that pertain to the safety and indemnity of life, reputation, and property. In addition, look at here. Now, it says up here, you can't build churches, may not build higher than high Muslim buildings, though if they require a tall house, it's not raised, and are forbidden building new churches. So these provisions of the Pack of Umar are found directly right here in this book. Let me get it up here so you can all see it. Oops, I'm on the wrong screen. There we go. Right there, this book right here, The Reliance of the Traveler. All this stuff is found. And you can find a PDF version, online version. Just do a search, Reliance of the Traveler, and you can get your own copy of it. Okay. So, number two, we shall keep our gates wide open for passersby and travelers. We shall give board and lodging to all Muslims who pass our way for 3 days. Well, that's not codified in Reliance of the Traveler, but it's one of the mandates. So when you think about it, we shall give board and lodging to all Muslims who pass our way for 3 days. So if a Muslim is passing by and you are in a Muslim-majority country and you are the kufar, if you are a non-believer, you have to provide them, according to the Pack of Umar, shelter. We shall not give shelter in our churches or dwellings to any spy or bide him from the Muslims. And what that means is that you will not hide somebody. You will not hide Christians or somebody that the Muslims are looking for. You won't give them that safe haven that you can. I can't remember exactly what you call that. You guys remember what you call that, where you're given safe haven in a church? What that's called? I can't remember off the top of my head. You know what I'm saying, though. It's sanctuary. There we go. You can't provide them sanctuary. There we go. I knew it would come to this slow, but I'm slower than I used to be. All right. We shall not teach the Quran to our children. This is a good idea. This is a really good idea. Umar, even al-Khattab, was brilliant by putting this in there, because you do not want this guy teaching the Quran to any of your children. I am the last guy that you want teaching the Quran to your children. And oh, by the way, I don't teach the Quran, ghouls. You just don't do that. That was actually the curriculum for another grade. So to say that, you know, it doesn't matter. All right, number five: we shall not manifest our religion publicly, nor convert anyone to it. We shall not prevent any of our kin from entering Islam. So when you look here, it's essentially saying, you, number one, you cannot show a – hold on, let me get this out here. You cannot wear a cross or, if you're a Jew, a Star of David. You can't do that. You cannot – or convert anybody to it. You cannot proselytize. You cannot share the gospel, the loving life-giving, eternal life-giving gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You can't do that, according to the Pack of Umar. We shall not prevent any of our kin from entering Islam if they wish. So if one of their relatives want to enter, one of our relatives want to enter Islam, guess what? We can't prevent them from doing that. Now, notice this caveat right here. This is according to Israel Alliance to Travel on page 608. Such non-Muslim subjects are obliged to comply with Islamic rules that pertain to the safety and indemnity of life, reputation, and property. In addition, they are forbidden to openly display wine or port, to ring church bells. That's why we ring the hell's bells, or used to here on this show, or display crosses, recite the Torah or even evangel, that's the gospel, aloud, or make public displays of their funerals and feast days. What is that read? Okay. So you can see here that, you know, if we are in a Muslim majority country, what aren't we getting to eat? We're not going to get to have a sausage biscuit. You can't have a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit. A BLT, nope, that's off limits. Pork chops, spare ribs, all these things that.
Man, now you're making me hungry.
I better slow down on that because I had spare ribs last night. Oh, they were good. You put them on the grill with a little butter barbecue. Oh, golly, I couldn't. I went to the Queen and I. We went to a comedy show one night, and the guy that was up on the stage, he was talking about, you know, how they barbecue and how they celebrate this and how white people don't understand this. And then he just kind of makes this flippant comment like, yeah, when we barbecue them spare ribs, they're just absolutely heaven. He goes, that's why I can never be a Muslim. And nobody, I promise you, nobody except for this guy in the entire room laughed at that joke. But it was just almost perfect timing when he said it, because he's just going on and on and on and on and on. And he goes, I could never be a Muslim. I couldn't handle that.
Well, you know, Allah lets them eat the pig if they're starving to death, so they should be thanking Allah for Mr. Pig.
Well, you know, here's one thing that I've never been able to figure out, and maybe somebody can tell me in chat. Okay, now, they make a big deal, especially the, you know, professing Muslims, they make a big deal of eating pork. You know, we shouldn't eat pork. It says in the Bible, not in, you know, if you go to the Levitical laws, yeah, it says don't eat pork. And that's what they point to. It said, look, your own book says that you're not supposed to eat pork. You know, completely, you know, ignoring the book of Acts. And they're famous for that. But, you know, forget that little tidbit. But also it says that you're not supposed to eat camels in the Levitical law. Yeah, and then, yeah, what does Muhammad do? He eats a camel. What do Muslims do across the
world?
Yeah, you see them stabbing the poor camels in the neck. Go ahead, Led.
That think about that. That would be like, you know, a Jew coming up to the temple and sacrificing at the temple. I mean, no.
Shellfish and everything else. Rabbit. There's a hadith where Muhammad ate some rabbit. So, you know, it's again, this is the hypocrisy of it all. This is the, you know, picking and choosing what they want to obey and what they don't. Okay.
There's a guy that's attacking in his channel, Adam Seeker. And so, in a sense, he wants us Christians to start obeying Deuteronomy and stoning our apostates. Well, this guy knows and has been on the Imam show, and so that would mean that he wants Christians to stone Kenny Boomer.
For what? Again, what? For what?
For being apostate, because he's a Christian apostate. So
I'm
he's
sure
reading
okay
Deuteronomy
that
the apostates are supposed to be stoned. So he says, see, you're not even obeying your own Bible. So in a sense, he's telling us Christians, go stone Kenny. Kenny's an apostate.
I'm okay with that.
I'm not okay with that. I don't know.
We don't do it. This is true.
Yeah, he who is without sin may cast the first stone.
And everything else.
All right. Right. Okay. So my response, thank you, Muhammad, 8.8. Danny. My response was, thank you, Muhammad ate poison. There you go. Yeah, he don't eat pork, but he ate a poison, what was it, a poison goat or whatever. I just killed your family. I just killed you, your husband, your brothers, your father, your aunt, your uncle. Hey, would you cook me a meal?
Kind of like slow there on the
uptown. So was the sheep, yeah.
Poor fella. Okay.
And then they made it that a woman did it, a Jewish woman did it. So look at the attack there on women. I don't believe anything of the story.
Well, I mean, where does that story come from? Think of where a lot of these stories come. A lot of these stories come from the Hadith, and the Hadith were not written down for 250 years, hundreds. Yep. When I say hundreds, literally hundreds of miles away from the area that they comment upon, where these events are said to have occurred.
Yep.
Now, if we were the equivalent of this, and I pointed this out on previous shows, the equivalent of this is where we would finally get something about George Washington written down today and then believing everything that it said. Somebody writing down something about George Washington said or did today, and we would have to believe it because we have
a chain
of transmitters.
You would dig up what we do have and compare. They won't do that with the Quran and the Bible.
Right. Well, but they have the science of the Hadith, right?
Science, right.
You know where the science of the Hadith comes from? From the Hadith. So circular.
It's early Marxism. You know what men say. The consensus. What men say. Con for senses. What they say, their senses, their sensuality with sensuality, that's what consensus, that's what their science is.
Yeah, it's
man.
It's convoluted.
It's all man.
All right, let's get back to this one. Let's get back to the pack. I want to get through the pack. Okay, so we shall show respect toward Muslims, and we shall rise from our seats when they wish to sit. Now, this was brought up, in Division O, chapter 11.5 in the Reliance of the Travelers, it says that non-Muslims must keep to the side of the street. Now, this was brought up on, I believe, one of those ABN shows that David Wood and Sam Shimon had done one night, where a guy calls in and he's lamenting the fact that the Christian, when the man had got out of the mosque that's calling the show, had met a Christian on the street, and the Christian told him that, you're a Muslim, I'm not supposed to be your friend. And he's crying about this. Well, how dare a Christian act so unchristian-like, which is true, because according to the tenets of Christianity, we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves and pray for our enemies and those who persecute you, which we do. But then David, or maybe Sam jumps in, and Sam cites the Hadith where it says that if you meet a Christian on the side of the street, you to force them to the narrowest part. And the narrowest part of the street was always where the horse poop was and the urine was. And you're to force them to that side of the street. So this is where, when we look at this this part of Reliance of the Traveler, this is where that comes from. That's what you're supposed to do to the Christian. And I would also point out, we shall show respect towards the Muslim and rise from our seats when they wish to sit. Now, there was a young lady, in Alabama a couple years ago that told the people to go ahead and shove it up their fourth point of contact when she was told to sit in the back of the bus. And this is the same exact thing. We're supposed to, are you kidding me? We're supposed to rise from our seats when you want to sit down? Good luck with that one. All right, next one. We shall not seek to resemble the Muslims by imitating any of their garments. Now, I don't know. Yeah, I've seen what they wear, and there's nothing there that I would want to imitate. Even the kufi thing, that I just can't get there. I mean, I just do not see myself wanting to do that. But at the time that this was written, there was a purpose behind it. They wanted to be able to distinguish between Muslims and non-Muslims by their dress. And it goes on to say, about the Zunar. Is that what you talk about, the turban, the footwear, parting of the hair? I guess they parted their hair a certain way. And we can't say, we shall not speak as they do, nor shall adopt their cunyas. Okay, the cunya was the, I believe that was the belt that you were made. Here it is. Oh, no, the Zunar is the belt. I'm not exactly sure what a cunya is, but you can't dress like a Muslim. And the reason for that is because by not dressing like a Muslim, you are showing your submission, that you are in a lower class of status of people, is what the purpose of that is. And if you look here in Reliance of the Traveler, it says such non-Muslims, let's see here, subjects are obliged to comply with Islamic rules that a person that pertain to the safety and indemnity of life, reputation and property. In addition, they are not distinguished from Muslims in dress, wearing a wide cloth, the Zunar. And if you also look here, they're not greeted with Assalamu alaikum. So you can't even give the greeting of peace to non-Muslims. Now compare that to Christianity and try to tell me that the Isa that we find in the Quran is the same Isa of Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7.
No way.
Go ahead and try that. Go ahead and try to say that you can't even greet somebody, give somebody the peace greeting when Christ himself taught. And this is what we always hear. You know, we love Jesus. No, you don't. Not the Jesus of the Bible. You love this contrived Jesus that Muhammad made up whole cloth just to take his – basically, it was a form of replacement theology. He wanted to go in and replace Jesus, the veneration that people gave to Jesus for being God incarnate, and he wanted it for himself. And this is where Jesus is nothing but – it's nothing but an excuse. The Jesus of the Quran is nothing but an excuse for Muhammad. You're right. It is demonic. Okay. We shall not engrave.
We just don't want you to perish.
Nobody wants to see other people perish. That is for sure. And on that judgment day, I do not. Let me just make sure that we understand this. I don't want to see anybody perish on judgment day when Christ judges us.
Yeah.
But he is going to do it with a sense of righteousness and in truth. And that righteousness and truth is only found in him, not us, not Muhammad, not how many times we pray a day, not how we go on a Hajj, not how we treat each other. It's how
– don't eat pork.
Right. Don't have them spare ribs, bacon biscuits. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. This is
– pork at all. My dad was a health food.
Really? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yes, we were so healthy. Man, we ate beans and rice for 5 years.
Ouch. Well,
he glorified it, but we didn't grow up with pork at all.
Okay, well, Iowa, we'd go out and get the pig out of the pen and butcher him in the barn. And
yeah.
Suey, we were eating pork all the time. Yeah, I tell you what, when you do that, it is, you know, it's a mess. It really, oh my gosh, it's bad. Yeah.
When they were slaughtering, and I stayed in the truck holding my nose, and I never wanted to go again.
Yeah, blood has a very distinct odor. All right, let's get back to this. Let's get away from pork chops. I got to eat here in a little bit. Okay, let's see. We shall not engrave Arabic inscriptions on our seals. I could see the reason for that. We shall not sell fermented drinks. So you cannot sell wine or pork, which is and this is very problematic, especially in Christianity, because we serve wine during communion. And when you serve wine during communion, you have to be able to purchase wine someplace. So if the Sharia is prohibiting you from purchasing one of the very things that we are commanded to do, partaking the Lord's Supper, this is very problematic. A lot of people don't understand. A lot of people don't really understand how far-reaching this Sharia is, just from the pack of Umar, let alone the rest of the book,
yeah,
is into our personal.
Don't you want to have a, you know, in your bank, not to have interest to it?
Oh, yeah, I remember seeing that, yeah.
Oh, man. You know, what, she think we're stupid and we can't read? We can read.
Well, what she does, Connie, is she preys on the ignorance of people. This is what they do. They prey on the ignorance of a lot of people.
That's what they do.
Okay, let's keep going here. We shall clip the front of our heads. My understanding was that they had to shave the front of their heads to show a form of submission. I'm willing to be wrong on that, but that was my understanding. And again, this is to distinguish you from the Muslims and how you are to be treated in public. Okay, let's go to number 12. We shall always dress in the same way wherever we may be, and we shall bind the zunar around our waist. Now, when we talk about this zunar, this is a wide cloth, and what this eventually led to is for the Jews wearing the six-pointed Star of David, and this was long before Hitler ever popularized this. So when we start talking about, well, the Nazis made the Jews wear the Star of David, well, look what Umar made the Jews do. Same exact thing. Number 13, we shall not display our crosses or our books in the roads or markets of the Muslims. We shall openly use clappers, we shall use only clappers in our churches very softly. Now, number one, the crosses in our books, in the roads, or in the marketplace. This is a public display of the cross. It is an affront. The cross is an affront to the Quran, because in chapter 4, 157, it says that Jesus Christ was never crucified on the cross. So to display that as a form of victory over death for Christians is humiliating to the Muslims, so they prohibit it outright. We shall only use clappers in our churches very softly. Clappers was a – it was kind of – well, okay, I don't want to get – too hillbilly-ish here, but it was kind of like two wooden spoons. You know, we have like you have spoons. People play the spoons, and okay, they were very similar to that. You'll use only clappers during Lent. Okay, thanks, Nim. Nim put in the chat that you only use clappers during Lent in churches. But at this time, they did not want this to be very loud. They did not want to hear hymns, the song of praise, Jesus Christ. Being sung, we shall not raise our voices when following our dead, meaning do not lament, do not cry, do not sing hymns as you're taking people to cemetery. We shall not show lights on any of the roads of the Muslims or in their markets. We shall not, look at here, we shall not bury our dead near the Muslims.
This is so evil. Kenny, can you not see this and know in your heart of hearts that this is so bad? What if we turned around and did that to you Muslims? Y'all wouldn't like it.
No, I mean, the very one things that they claim, you know, they claim victimhood on, they themselves do. And this is why we always say that this what they charge you with is just a projection of what they do, what they feel, and how they act. And they project that on to somebody else. You're a hater. No, actually, you're the one that's taught to hate other people. It's sick. It really is. Okay, number 13. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Connie.
Why is just like talking to a four-year-old that just doesn't know how to reason or talk yet, you know, and just calling you poo-poo head, you know, booger face, whatever. It's fine. Come on, man. We're all adults here. We can reason. No, this is evil stuff. Kenny, come back to Christ. It sounds like you never knew. You never knew Christ.
I don't think he did. I don't think he had a solid foundational understanding.
Yeah,
based on what I read in his book, he didn't have a solid foundational. I was confused when I was 14, 15, however old he was. No, you're not. Okay. Number 14. This is pretty telling. We shall not take slaves who've been allotted to Muslims. So does that mean that Muslims can take slaves? Yes. Why can Muslims take slaves? Well, did Muhammad own slaves? Yes. Did Muhammad sell slaves? Yes. Did Muhammad buy slaves? Yes. Did Muhammad enslave people? Yes. So when it talks about we shall not take slaves who've been allotted to Muslims, that means that you cannot have a slave that used to be a Muslim slave. So anybody that used to be previously a Muslim slave, you can't have. Here's another good one. We shall not build houses overtopping the houses of the Muslims. So you cannot have your house sitting higher up on the hill than a Muslim house. Your house must be lower than that Muslim house. That's what that means. Okay, and then here's the end of it. This is pretty telling. We accept these conditions for ourselves and for the people of our community. In return, we receive our safe conduct. If we in any way violate the undertakings for which we ourselves stand surety, we forfeit our covenant, our dhimmitude, us being dhimmis, and we become liable to the penalties for, contumacy. Oh my gosh, what does that word mean? I don't think I've ever seen that word before. I'm not going to look it up. And sedition. Oh, okay. So it's basically saying that by violating this contract, you're committing sedition. I'm going to have to look that word up. Maybe you guys look that word up and tell me what that means. Contumacy, is that the continuity or something? And it doesn't matter. Umar ibn Khattab replied, sign what they asked, but add two clauses. Okay, so he's asking for two additional things to be added. All of this is going to be imposed on the dhimmis. All of this is going to be imposed on the Jews, the Christians, the rest, okay? But you're going to add two more things. And look what he adds here. And impose on them to those who have undertaken. They shall not buy anyone made prisoner by the Muslims. So in other words, anybody that is taken prisoner, or I would also say captive, you can't buy them from them. Only Muslims can buy them. And then secondly, whoever strikes a Muslim with deliberate intent shall forfeit the protection of this pact. So you can't, regardless of what a Muslim does to you, you cannot strike that Muslim.
Okay, it means contemptuous.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes that. Yeah, I get that. Looks like the root. Yeah. Okay.
Disobedience, your rebellion, your stubborn.
Contumacy. Okay. I wouldn't have known that.
I looked it up. So.
Yeah. Okay. So the bottom line is that if you hit a Muslim, then you're in violation of the Pact of Umar, and therefore you are no longer going to receive the protection from the Ummah. But who are you to be protected from? And this is the key thing. Who are you protected from? You are protected from the very people who you are paying the money to. It's serious. That's the bottom line. That's exactly what it is. It's like the mob with the god is what it is. It's when somebody from the mob says, comes knock on your door, say, hey, yo, you need to buy some fire insurance from me. But it's a brick building. Now, if you don't buy the fire insurance, you might have a fire accident here. Well, the person demanding the money is the one that would set the fire. And the same thing is true here. You need protection. Exactly, Kufar. It's extortion is what it is. And Gedalia, put it, a refusal to obey or comply with authority, especially disobedience to a court order or summons. Yeah. Yeah, the original mobsters, Danny calls them. So the bottom line is this is the mob with a god. They're saying that you will pay us money, and if you do not, then you will not be protected. Well, be protected from who? Well, be protected from us. It's just sick. So when you can they derive? Well, Christians. This.
They have a heavy population at that time?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. This is Jerusalem. The Christians occupied Jerusalem for centuries after the Romans had evicted the Jews in AD 70. So the Christians are the ones that occupied Jerusalem. This is where you have all those beautiful churches down there. In Jerusalem and all throughout Israel. That was Christian. Alexandria, Egypt, was like this main hub of Christianity in the Mediterranean. They had the library of Alexandria. Umar ibn Khattab is the one that burned that one to the ground.
So I'm thinking that this was supposed to be in the land of Saudi Arabia. It's it's not?
No, this no, they came. This is in Jerusalem, right? Yeah, let's
wow.
Let's go up to the top of this. I think it specifies it at the
what
top.
What year is this?
637. 637.
We waited till what? 1100.
1099. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Right. Second Riley Umar made the compact with the conquered Christians in Jerusalem in 637. Christians in Jerusalem in 637. Yeah. Oh yeah. 2/3 of Christendom was conquered before the first crusade was ever waged. If you look at the you look at how rapidly Islam spread out across North Africa. Muhammad dies in 632. Muslim armies are sitting just south of Paris, France, by 732 in Tours, France. This is where you had this famous battle with Charles the Hammer Martel, is finally able to push the Islamic attacks into Europe. They crossed the Straits of Gibraltar into Spain. Spain was a Muslim nation for 700 years. It was covered. It was conquered around 700 A.D. and remained a Muslim nation until Prince Ferdinand and Queen Isabella, King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella, evicted the Muslims in 1492, along with the Jews. They kicked the Jews out too.
Religion of peace, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what they did to what happened to the Jews is unconscionable. But the bottom line is that this religion spread very rapidly by the sword, and it was only in Paris, France, just south of Paris, France, by 732. It had also gone eastward, clear over into India, into the Hindu Kush, within 100 years. So this ideology that was being taught, that was being embraced, and a lot of people really can't even put their finger on the roots of anything being mentioned till the mid-750s. And that's from a guy by the name of John of Damascus, is where you first start seeing this extra Islamic literature coming out as an apologetic or a polemic against Islam. So you don't see any of that. There's no evidence for this being an Islamic. And I'm gonna put this out there. There's no evidence for this being an Islamic aggression outside of Islamic sources. We don't have that. They talk about they make mention of different people that they associated with Islam, but there's no mention by John of Damascus of a Quran, of a man named Muhammad, or anything like that, and that is almost 100 years, if I'm not mistaken. I might be wrong on the timeline there, but there's nothing mentioned about Muhammad for at least 60 years anywhere outside of the Quran and the Hadith. And the Hadith were written down.
I've heard a little bit of what he's written. It's really interesting because he's talking about their arguments and then his argument back, and mm-hmm. I'm like, wow, this is, sounds like what we're going through even today.
Yeah, and the guy that wrote the book on about John of Damascus, his name's Dr. Dan Janicek. I've taken a couple classes with him, and he is just an absolute brilliant, brilliant author. So
okay.
That book that he has, I have it here. I'd have to remove my Israeli flag, and I don't want to do that. I kind of like that in the background.
Just send the link when you can.
Yeah, I'll find it, and I'll get it to you tonight. Okay, that's about all I got for the day. Does anybody have anything else? Issa, did you have anything you want to opine with on the closing here, or Connie, did you? Because it looks like everybody else booked on us.
I know. Where are they at? Yeah. No, I want to hear what Issa has to say. I like what he has to say these days. I'm really learning to respect this young man. He's not into the kingdom.
I think he's playing Fortnite. I might be wrong on that.
Well, he's probably running to the phone now.
Who knows? It's okay. All right, so
where did everybody else go? Where did Chris go? I'd like to hear him.
They bailed. He's got
Well,
DL doesn't come on Tuesday night. DL's has a weird work schedule where he can't come on Tuesday nights. So that's why he comes on Sundays. Okay.
Back to Christ and to repent from all this stuff. We try to show you, Kenny. you know, not to put you down, but to show what is evil. And it's evil, Kenny. You know these are things in your heart. You know, but I invite you back to come to Christ. And he will save you.
Yeah, his heart's hardened. I mean, you can only pray for him. That's right. You're right. We can only pray for him.
You know, just like a junkyard dog, too. I mean, I was never a bully. I hated bullies. I couldn't stand them. But, you know, hey, I broke them all, too, right? If I broke one, I broke them all. So I was no different than Kenny in God's eyes. So I was just stubborn, stiff-necked, too.
All right. Let's keep in mind Sunday. I'm not going to be here on Sunday. This Sunday or the following Sunday, come to think about it. Rad is going to hold down the fort on this Sunday, and then Chris Claus will be holding down the fort on what we would call Labor Day weekend here in America. So thank you, everybody, for coming tonight. I hope we can apply some of the lessons that we learned here from the Pack of Umar. XYZ said Chris is going to go live in an hour and a half. Oh, I think I know what that's about.
Yes,
I think it deals with that pastor, Rudolph Bischoff, that was on that had a debate over on CCTV the other night. Tune into Chris's channel. Jump on over to Chris Claus. You just search him on YouTube. You'll find him. Everybody else, God bless you, and see you next time on the Cross and the Crescent discussion group. Have a great night. And Annie, thank you for coming. Doing an Afghan show Friday with former Navy SEAL Sarges should be awesome. Send me the link. I might send me the link, and I'll take a look at it.